Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Santo Tercivia, who is an economist with us at Floor Focus and also with Market Insights. Santo, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. How are you this morning?
I'm great. You've just finished publishing your U.S. Floor Report. Most people should know that's the annual report that you pulled together that is probably one of the most insightful in the business. It's purely and solely focused on what's going to happen in the flooring business. And unique to some of the other competing products, yours gives you a forecast that's, I believe, 5 years out, right?
That's correct, by market segment.
Yeah. You cover all of the market sectors. You cover all of the surface types. And you make a projection on where the business is going to go. And for those of the people who haven't ever seen it, it's very thorough. How many pages is it? It's about to what? A couple hundred pages, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're close to 400 pages. We also forecast the product going through the channels, what kind of channels they're going to be going through. And we look at historical market shares for all the major players within each segment, public and private companies.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the highlights of this new book that's just being released. I guess for it to be good, especially if you're going to do a forecast, you've got to get the economic premise right. What's the economy going to do? What's your outlook there?
Our outlook is for the economy to continue to grow for the next couple of years. As always, the engine for the U.S. economy has been consumer spending, and we see that carrying us through, as it has in the past, going forward. The good news is that housing starts are beginning to come back, and we see a return to historical housing start levels of 1.4 to 1.5 million units happening around the end of 2014. Now, I should say, even though I'm an economist, I don't have the time to study the economy and do this kind of reporting in our industry. So we acquire our forecast from a company called IHS Global Insights, which is a huge economic firm, and they are one of the leaders in economic forecasting in the world. And that's the forecast that drives our market model.
Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of input from different areas. I just wrote an editorial in the June issue where I quoted you. You know, you and I spoke a couple weeks ago. To reiterate what you just said, it's going to be slow and steady. Alan Beaulieu, on the other hand, says he is forecasting a little bit of a dip in 14 based on the sequester, based on Obamacare, and based on continued high unemployment. And yet, you know, I went to dinner the other night with the new co-CEO of Beaulieu, Carl Verkruzen, and he is very bullish on the economy. He says that he thinks the American economy is going to be robust for two reasons. One is this energy independence that we're going to have, and the fact that this shift back to American manufacturing is going to drive unemployment down, and we're going to see some strong improvements here soon. So kind of interesting, the different things you hear out there.
Yes, you've hit on an interesting point. And what's clouding the whole economy in terms of the future is uncertainty, because we are in uncharted waters. The administration has placed a bunch of major initiatives into the economy that nobody really knows the effects of. And Obamacare, the regulations they keep pumping out of places like the EPA, and all of these have an effect. You know, the EPA regulations pull capital that was planned for new products or whatever and put it into remedial actions with HVAC units, furnaces, whatever. But the main point to bear in mind is, with all this uncertainty, hiring becomes difficult, investments become more difficult, and it just puts a cloud over everything, and it makes it very, very difficult to forecast. So
let's talk about the bottom line, if you would, for just a minute, and then get into some of the details. Many people know that the flooring industry, as far as the wholesale value, peaked at around $24 billion, then went all the way down to low $15 billion. When we did our 2012 annual report in May, we said that the industry had recovered to about a $17 billion level. Tell us what the next couple of years looks like.
Well, next year we're looking at growth short of 8%. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's this year.
Okay.
and then the year after, a 10% growth.
We talked before the interview, you think it's going to go from 17 to 18.4 and then on up to 20 billion in
14. That's right.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
And that's mainly because housing is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing really good growth in the housing sector. In the past and currently, it's being driven by the multifamily sector.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who sells floor covering knows that means a lot of base grade product being sold. But that's going to shift, and it is shifting, to more single-family homes. So by 2015, multifamilies will still be strong, but they'll be back to their typical 25 to 30% of the total. And single families will kick in. There's where the upgrades are, and there's where the margins should improve for manufacturers and retailers.
Like I say, this book has a tab for each category. And you do a great job of talking about your predictions on share shift by surface type. Tell us what you think is going to happen in share shift.
Well, we're going to continue to see. There's not a lot of anything extraordinary. We're going to see LVT, wood and ceramic tile, continue to have double-digit growth for the next several years.
Yeah.
Laminate is going to continue to grow, but at a much slower rate than the top three. VCT is going to benefit from the next couple of years from the commercial market recovery. Carpet and sheet are going to have some growth, mainly from the strength in the multifamily sector right now. Carpet and sheet have always been the floor covering of choice for those who are on a tight budget. So, they'll always have that sector. And carpet will always have the private, what we call the private spaces in the home, the bedrooms, where Americans don't like to any great extent hard surface in their bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Carpet, and bedrooms constitute about 35% of the rooms in the home. So
now another thing that I know you feel strongly about is around this whole retail shift. Talk a little bit about your prediction. Obviously there's the home center versus the independents. Talk a little bit about that if you would.
Sure. Traditionally people have looked at home centers versus the flooring stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's dynamic obviously still exists, but the shift is really away from home centers versus flooring stores to chains versus independents. To an independent flooring store, Home Depot and Floor & Decor are in the same boat in terms of their competition. And Floor & Decor obviously is a flooring store. So we see a shift, and it's going to be the big chains against the little independents. And each of them have their strengths. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But we see less of the traditional competition between home centers and flooring stores and more towards the big versus the little.
Well, our next issue, our July issue, we run our retail survey, and I've been looking through the results, and it looks like the home center is still one of the biggest issues people are facing when we ask independent flooring retailers.
Yeah, but you have to remember, too, people like Lumber Liquidators and Floor & Decor and now this new tile shop, they are just as much a threat to the independents as the Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards and guys like that are.
Okay, Santo, about to run out of time. I did want to make sure everybody knew that this report was out. I haven't seen it yet. I look forward to getting a copy of it. Again, we've been talking to Santo Tercivia with Market Insights, LLC, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.